The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Southern Oregon's place to talk.
President Trump about to address the World Economic Forum in Davos. I kind of hope he would just say, "You are all brain damaged lunatics." A fella can wish. Okay, let me go to. If I'm playing a polka, you know, we got Brad here. Hello, Brad. How you doing this morning?
Brother, you know, you play the best music.
You know, I've never been praised for playing polkas, but my father used to just, it used to drive him nuts when Grandma Protzeg every Sunday morning playing the polkas. But anyway.
You got to be from the Midwest to understand that culture, brother.
I think you're right. What's on your mind? You have a health problem you want to talk about, huh?
I am now 70, as much as it's hard to believe for me. But, you know, we're subject to all these scams. And the only way that I can articulate my opinion is I make T-shirts. And one of the T-shirts I love to wear says, "Beware of history, you're bound to repeat it." And you know who was famous for that statement?
Who came up with that?
Winston Churchill on the House of Commons in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
And the back of the T-shirt says, "Anthony Fauci or Joseph Goebbels." And you know, I'll wear that, and 6 out of 10 people walk up to me, "Who's Joseph Goebbels?"
Oh, they don't even know, huh?
No. It's amazing how ignorant people are about history, but there is a connection. Because Joseph Goebbels was famous for this statement. You tell a lie 1,000 times, it becomes the truth.
Yeah, and wasn't there another Nazi official that, who is the propaganda? Was Goebbels also the one that came up with the phrase that it is very easy to lead a nation to war? And I'm, you know, paraphrasing him. You know,
That might have been the guy that was the head of the Wolf Law.
Yeah, that could be. I'll have to look it up. I have it someplace, but I'll have to. But it's very similar.
Point being is we are constantly being sold a bill of goods.
So assume you're being sold a bill of goods, even from your friends, and then hopefully you will be proven wrong, right?
I just know in my own life, because I really enjoy the people you get on the radio. The guy, the doctor, was good news. Just to getting data. But when I had cancer 13 years ago and I had a really bad bout, I fired 2 doctors. Because I didn't trust them. And trust and faith in who's providing care is very valuable. It speaks to this whole culture of who's providing care, like with what this doctor's articulating. Oh, this is the remedy to the problem, when you don't know if the remedy is dangerous or not.
It kind of goes back to the my criticism and other people have been talking about, in which the doctors have been inculcated in the hospital systems, especially to practice protocols rather than practice medicine. And they need to practice medicine once again, which means having the ability to step outside and look at people as individuals and to not just pay attention to what the American Medical Association and various other grifting groups out there in charge of writing the rules tell them. Appreciate the call there, Brad. Always good hearing from you. Glad you're with us still, okay? Ron Smith, county commissioner, newly installed county commissioner in Grants Pass. A lot of drama. How's it been so far here, commissioner?
Well, it's been fine. A lot of information, a lot of knowledge you've got to get up to speed on, but it's been good.
Good. Glad to hear that. I wanted to invite you on for a few minutes and find out, because I know you were, even when you before you were running for county commissioner, you were a dog with a bone on the Senate Bill 762 wildfire map issue, and you had a lot of events that you put on, try to educate people about it. And I had a conversation with Senator Jeff Golden last week, and
yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, we were going through all of that. I don't know if you have any thoughts or reactions to it, given how deeply you have been implanted in this particular issue. Where do you think the counties might be able to go? I know you can only speak for Josephine County. You're one of a three-member board, but imagine we'll be talking with Jackson County and everybody else. What's your overall impression of where this might be headed and the strengths and weaknesses of the arguments, I guess? Give me your overall take.
First, I'll let you know that the Board of Commissioners have given me the lead on this particular issue.
Okay.
And we are going to hold a, I want to get this out there, we're going to hold a public information meeting January 30th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Josephine County Fairgrounds in the Evergreen Pavilion.
Okay.
So that'll be open to the public. We'll get some questions and answers for people. We're looking at how to move forward on this and how to push back. I'm actually reaching out to Jackson County and Douglas County.
Good.
Because I think all three of these counties are severely affected, or should I say infected.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's certainly affected from the infection, that is for sure. Okay.
Yeah. So this legislation is really misguided. Will do nothing to reduce wildfires because all the burden is put on the property owners, not on the federal land managers. And so we're looking right now at the ORSs and administrative rules to make sure they're consistent mm-hmm. and that they're constitutional. And we're digging deep into it. So hopefully the pushback will start with the people having an uprising. And I mean that in a positive sense.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah. We're not talking about January 6th, but let's...
No.
But let me... But how about... Do you think that ultimately... Like I said, I know that, the coordinated the fight, coming from the counties, I hope. Do you think it's ultimately going to take a pushback or a rejection from county governments in order to maybe really, send the message that this ain't working? This is not going to hang here in Southern Oregon?
Well, according to their law, they're supposed to coordinate with county governments, which I haven't seen much of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been sort of handed to us and basically shoved at us. So we're going to want to demand a little more input and say-so about the implementation of this law, because it's actually, in my book, it's just an attack on private property rights. I don't see anything here that's going to reduce a catastrophic wildfires.
Nothing.
Hmm. Nothing. I mean, because there's no burden on the federal land managers, on the Forest Service BLM, to do anything on their land to help us reduce wildfires.
Yeah. I had a listener who wrote me here, Commissioner Denise, who said, I love this quote regarding the new fire map that really disgusted me. Such disdain that they have for their rural constituents. And this is from page 25 of the rules. The map is key to successfully moving forward with protecting people's homes, businesses, and communities from wildfire in the future, through the landscape. Focusing on the high-hazard WUI is the low-hanging fruit that will give Oregon the most return on investment. Oregon's not making an investment in that here, Commissioner.
Well, there's going to be a lot of money handed down. The question is, who's it going to?
Yeah,
and in my opinion, it should be going to the landowners for them to have the wherewithal, the funding to comply with this crazy legislation.
That was something that Commissioner Roberts was mentioning last week when she was on the show for another purpose, and that was that everything about SB 762 is sticks. Very few carrots at all. No carrots, really. None. Well, just like here's how we're going to beat you in rural Josephine, Douglas, and Jackson County.
And I think we're as a public, we're a little sick of government mandates. Why don't they give us some incentives, like some money for people to create defensible space and maybe to harden our homes?
Yeah.
But honestly, though, is
defensible space enough in the firestorm type thing? They almost seem to be wanting everybody to design a property for firestorm, which I think is kind of an impossibility. But that's just me.
It is. I mean, take the Alameda fire. There was nothing that would have stopped that.
Okay.
And they tried. And so here in Josephine County, we're going to be the hardest hit. Of all the counties, we're going to be the hardest hit. So my goal right now is to educate the public, to get the public to begin to comment back and kind of overwhelm the system there, mm-hmm. and let them know that the public is not for this. We're adamantly against it because we don't see where this is going to help reduce wildfires.
I think what it's about is reducing reducing the cost to Oregon government for wildfire costs. I think that's what it's all about. It's about shifting it.
Well, and therein lies a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Before 762, ODF, the Oregon Department of Forestry, was allowed to charge $25 per tax lot for their protection and assessment on fire.
Okay.
But in this legislation, they took that cap off of there. And we still do not know what that cost is going to be to the property owners.
I did not know that. Thanks for making that clarification. Didn't know that.
We don't know. The sky's the limit. They have not talked about how much that the ODF is going to charge the landowners on this.
Mm.
And this, to me, is a dereliction of duty on the state's part. They should be informing people that this is going to look at, Bill. People's insurance is going up. People are losing their insurance. Their power bills are going up. And now the state wants to put another burden on these people, a defensible space and harden your homes with no money to help them. But the money's going to come, but it's going to go to all NGOs.
Yeah, in other words, the collaboratives, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay. Josephine County Commissioner Ron Smith, who is the lead on the wildfire map issue there on that particular board. And Ron, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. I just wanted to grab some quick takes here from you on this. So it's going to be a week from today, this public meeting, 7 to 9 p.m. at the, is it the Adams Room, you said?
It's going to be the Evergreen Pavilion, the big facility there on the fairgrounds in Josephine County.
Okay, very good. 7 to 9 p.m. public meeting. Comment, questions, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's all there?
Questions and answers.
Okay.
Questions and answers for the people. So we're going to try to give them some direction to start pushing back. I think the way to defeat this bill is a massive public awareness program and have a public, and that maybe the word of uprising is not right, but a huge pushback on this legislation to make them go back and make this map realistic, because it's not.
Yeah, the other way of looking at this is that government is supposed to be by the consent of the governed, and we're not consenting. A lot of people don't want to consent to this, all right? Not consenting to this at all.
Here we go. We will not comply.
Yep. There you go. Hey, Commissioner, appreciate the call. Thank you. We'll have you back, all right? Take care.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. 18 after 8, 770-5633, and we'll continue with open phones and more on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Kim Komando Digital Update coming up, and a bunch more.
Crater Lake Medford Mazda invites you to experience the stylish and powerful 2025 Mazda lineup. We've stocked up.
It's breezy Friday and Saturday.
20 minutes after 8, Kim Komando Digital Update is coming up here in just a moment. And I've noticed that the dollar has been rallying as of late. I don't know if it's necessarily about the dollar's strength or Europe's weakness here. We can have a little conversation about that. But I would say that that would tend to put the price of gold down a little bit. So long term, I'm still saying that the trend is inflationary, in my opinion. Just giving you my inflationary quick hot take, not that I'm any sort of financial expert. But I think maybe a good time. Well, it's always a good time to buy, right? When you're talking about storing away some wealth preservation. And that would be Jay Austin and Company. Gold and silver buyers in Ashland at 1632 Ashland Street. 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Supporting you. Supporting Talk Radio. Been one of my oldest sponsors and just really good people. And they suggest that you keep the physical gold and silver under your physical control, not falling to the siren song about, putting it in the IRA like all the big national companies are talking about. So deal with a good local company that's truly looking out for your best interests. And, of course, helping out Talk Radio, too. Jay Austin in Ashland and Grants Pass, FortuneReserve.com. You can find out more about them today. Better yet, just drop by.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River. In South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
825, I have yet to be replaced by AI, so I'm just going to manually take your calls the old school way. 770-5633. David's here. Hello, David. What's on your mind on Conspiracy Theory Thursday?
Morning. Well, here's the original artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You know, some mornings I feel more artificial, though. It's like, is there enough organic coffee I can stick in my gut to help out? But what's on your mind here? Go ahead.
Well, it just came to my mind, and I've been thinking about it, and I called in this morning because for several years, I've been watching the Lamakoskis and the Ashland Forest Resiliency and their Reeder Reservoir and Mount Ashland. It's got the name on it, so it must belong to everybody in Ashland, and the heck with the rest of us. And so I was curious about Jeff Golden in the city of Ashland is in the red map. I just find the hypocrisy delicious. And I was also wondering about Tina Kotek and Eugene. I was wondering about the state capitol in Salem.
I believe all of those are relatively low fire risks. I know Senator Golden is not in the extreme. Perhaps he's in moderate. I'm not exactly sure which section of town he lives in. But most of the actual cores of the cities, which is kind of funny when you think about it, you know, the cores of the city which were vaporized in the urban fires of 2020, and now they consider those moderate. Those are moderate places now. I guess it's kind of hard to say that they're low wildfire risk, even though they've been burnt to the ground once, you know.
I'm looking at Los Angeles. Nobody thinks of that. It's not a wildfire. That's a Southern California is urban. There is no wildland in Southern California.
Yeah, but remember, urban doesn't burn. Only rural lands in the wooey, okay? Just remember that.
So I just find the hypocrisy delicious to tell somebody what they can or can't do, and then they don't have to be subject to it. I just find that hypocrisy just phenomenal.
Well, thank you for sharing your thought on that. I want to go to Joyce. Hello, Joyce. You wanted to weigh in on the forest. Go ahead.
I was going to say, back in the 1930s and before World War II, we owned all the forest in this county. And I like to see this get Trump to get re-established.
Well, we never really owned them. I mean, we, of course, they were managed. They were managed by the county or through the federal government on behalf of that. You're speaking of the ONC lands, right? The Oregon and California Railroad that were...
Well, no, before then. I'm talking about in the 20s and 30s. We actually owned these forests.
We did?
Yes.
I thought that they were always for federal forest lands or,
no,
you know...
I don't think so, because...
I might want to check on that, Joyce. It would be nice, though. Frankly, it's controlled by the federal government right now, and so
yes, I understand.
Ideally, though, they would be just deeded over to the counties to manage, and we would be much better, I think, at using them properly. And I'm with you on that. That's a high lift, though, legislatively. Just know, okay? But good legislation starts with a dream, and maybe Joyce's dream is a good way to looking at that. Hello, Todd in Central Point. You want to talk 762? Go ahead.
Yes, and thanks for lining up that interview with Golden and replaying it twice on the weekend. Every time I heard it, I heard a little bit more. And
well, I wanted people to hear. I mean, Senator Golden.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we had a good talk. I mean, we disagree, but you know, I don't think he was just completely sidestepping things. He realizes that. I think he does realize, though, that there is a real problem with the law. I think there's no doubt about that. What happens next, though? I don't know.
You know, I think he's. He's well-meaning, but he's definitely a disciple of, and his words were, we're in a new era. Mm-hmm. And he was referring specifically to Pacific Palisades, where my cousin has a home that miraculously survived. He was saying that it didn't matter how you fire-hardened your property. In a firestorm like that, nothing's going to save it. When you were saying, rightly so, hey, well, what if we do some mitigation to our properties? You can't change your map designation. And he said nothing survived that was in the path of the fire. That's not true. I watched numerous news reports, one of them specifically ABC Nightly News, where they stood in front of somebody's house that he hardened his property, the landscaping, concrete, metal siding, double-paned windows. Every house around him, which were right next to his, were gone, and his survived.
Well, the point is, though, is that that's essentially what Senate Bill 762 is wishing to impose on them. On people, though, metal roofs and fire-resistant siding, that is part of the law, too, to be fair, you know, about it.
Yeah, but then in the first page of that letter that they sent out to everybody, it says, your insurance costs cannot go up because of the law. And that's nonsensical, because if you tell an insurance company, you have to pay more to replace a house like mine, which is an extreme area, of course they have to charge more. And if they can't, they're going to pull their coverage, just like many insurance companies did in Los Angeles, or all of California for that matter.
And also, if you're going to have insurance, an insurable property, one must be able to afford it. The one part that never seems to get talked about with all of this sustainable fire on the landscape and hardening your fire, make it sustainable and sustainable this and sustainable that. You notice that financial sustainability is never really discussed, and it's just kind of on your burden, right?
And some people are paying more for their insurance than they are for their mortgage in California. And I'll let you go with one thing. I came across a great documentary that's online. You can find it on YouTube, that was put together back in 1962, and it's narrated by the great voiceover guy, William Conrad.
Oh, yeah.
And it was put out by the City of Los Angeles Fire Department, talking about the 1961 Bel Air Fire, which is right next to Pacific Palisades. And it's a mirror image. So you have people like Golden saying, we're in a new era. You know,
Saying that it's climate change, right?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Was it climate change in 61? You know what? I grew up in L.A., and for thousands of years, Native Americans lived there before any Europeans started building houses there. And they referred to the land as the land of fire. And that had nothing to do with global warming. It had to do with how you built and where you built. If you build on a hillside and you're surrounded by shrubs, that's one thing. But again, I really appreciate you lining up that interview. It's really shedding light on
that. Well, thank you very much. The other thing I was going to mention here, and I wonder if the real result of what is being experienced right now, both in Southern Oregon, Oregon proper, and in California, is could this also be designed ultimately as a popping of the real estate bubble, bringing real estate values and land values back down to from those bleed areas. So if we bought at the peak, though, we're going to be hosed, I mean, no doubt. You ever think about that?
Well, you know, I just look at the insurance costs. If that bubble's not going
to
pop.
Yeah, that has to be then considered as part of the cost of ownership then, which will reflect on the ability of what someone can charge for a property, too. You see what I'm getting at? That sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just before I run, what your previous caller said is spot on. Where, you know, remember the library down in Talent? Mm-hmm. That whole side of the street burned to the ground. I'm sure that's considered moderate or low risk right now. And all of these fires, whether it's down in L.A. or up here with the Alameda fire, they started on public lands and spread to neighborhoods.
In this particular case, the Greenway, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, maybe the goal. Do you remember the old Star Wars, the very first Star Wars movie in the 1970s? I don't know how old you are, but did you ever see that talk?
One year older than you, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. 1977, Luke Skywalker, all the rest of it there. Remember how Luke's home looked on that planet back then, in which everything looks like it's concrete and half buried? I think that is sort of the goal. That's the goal for sustainable development. You're going to have a concrete home and a bunker with 90% of it underground. I don't know. Let me go to Brad. Hey, Brad, how you doing? Welcome.
Bill, good morning. Hey, so a conspiracy doesn't have to be secret to be a conspiracy, does it?
No.
It doesn't. So the old saw in Oregon when it comes to politics is Republicans spend all they can, Democrats spend all they need to. And the reason that this matters is we now have as commander-in-chief and running this country a man who knows how to fight with money better than anybody this country has ever had running things. And the left has never run out of money.
Is there a possibility you think that President Trump, in his battles for immigration reform and everything else, that he'll essentially use the grant stream funding to punish Oregon if we don't shape up?
Not punish, encourage Oregon to do things that make a lot more sense. And we already see what he's doing with the water thing down in Southern California, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, hey, you're going to need, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, the damage down there is going to run into the hundreds of billions of dollars. We know this. California is already in the hole. California already, their balance sheet is already in the red, right? They're going to need hundreds of billions of dollars on the rebuild. Where are they going to get that money? This is the perfect opportunity to see how a master manager of money is going to use that money to affect public policy and make things that should be happening actually happen.
I hope you're right. I really do. Brad, thank you for the call. It is 8:35, and if you're waiting online, I will get right to you, 770-5633. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
Stephen Westfall, Inc. is thrilled to announce the winner of their second metal roof giveaway for a well-deserving veteran. After sifting through countless inspiring nominations, it's with great pleasure that the Westfalls reveal Michael K. of Rogue River as the winner of a top-of-the-line metal roof. To everyone who nominated a veteran, your heartfelt stories touched our hearts, and we appreciate your support. Once again, congratulations to Michael, and thank you for your service. Stay tuned for more exciting updates and to hear Michael's story.
Saving big on just the things I need.
Check out these fantastic savings on Oregon E-Deals. Grab a $50 gift card to Artisan Bakery Cafe for only $30 and enjoy their incredible beignets. Need car repair? Get a $500 auto body collision repair certificate from Lithia Body and Paint for just $300. Head to OregonEDeals.com and click the Medford link to grab these deals now.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
When it comes right down to it, when we buy things, we want the best products, at the best prices, and the best service. Of course, sellers always try to tell you that they're the best. Hughes Lumber has been selling lumber products for over 40 years in the Rogue Valley. So if you want to really know who has the best lumber deals, just ask a customer of Hughes Lumber. In Medford, on Crater Lake Highway, the customer's favorite choice.
This ceasefire is now formally beginning.
The Israel-Hamas ceasefire yields its first fruits.
Hamas has just now released the names.
These are national treasures of Israel.
Will the new U.S. administration affect the hostage releases?
The World Health Organization warning that hostages could face complex health challenges.
And what will it mean going forward in the region?
Hamas never holds a ceasefire.
And Syria calls to actually bomb Tel Aviv.
Get in the conversation.
They don't want peace. It's not part of their charter.
On News Talk 106.3, KMED.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Okay, sorry about that. I was talking with David, and David was saying, hey, Bill, you got to remind everybody that tonight, 5:30, first Medford 549C school board meeting. And he's right about that, because Rob Schlaffer and we had Ross Kautz, I think was, if I recall correctly, his name. The Oregon Education Project, and they are looking to reform public education, and I mean really reform it. And you think about the battles with Michael Williams, the school board director there, you know, the challenges that he's been facing, the complaints against him, and I'm sure that has not been completely figured out and settled yet. So if you are truly interested in the reforming of education, and wanted to join a good network of people there, be at the Medford School Board meeting tonight at the Oak Grove School. Oak Grove School, that, of course, on West Main Street on the way to Jacksonville. Okay? All right. 5:30, by the way, is when that is on. Let me go to Terry. Hi, Terry.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Hi, Bill. Well, like I said, I'm a perfect example of this wildfire map. Just devastating us rural fire or rural property owners.
What would it do to you?
Pardon?
I was just asking what it would do to you, you think?
Well, it's already the first part of last month, I received my new yearly insurance bill, mm-hmm. and it went up some. And then just a couple days ago, or in fact it was yesterday, I received a new packet where my insurance, I pay it on a monthly bill,
yeah,
and it almost doubled. And
wow.
Yet, just a month ago, they sent me a packet. Now I got a new packet. And last week, is I received the fire map information. So that's kind of strange, you know. Just a few days later, you get my fire insurance almost doubled. And I, you know, I'm on a fixed income, and I have a little farm out here, and trying to farm. Well, they, you know, they've driven the cost of electricity, so you can't afford to hardly pump and irrigate any land.
So you're seeing a lot of connection then between state policy, energy policy, water policy, land policy, and these harms being brought upon you.
Oh, yeah. It's just driving us off the, you know, making it, I can't farm near like I used to because, you know, the irrigation's got so expensive.
And the other input costs, too. I'm going to be talking with Glenn Archambault about that in the next few days, I hope. Terry, are you going to appeal, though? You have four lots, or are they in a trust and you have to hire an attorney? What are you going to do?
Well, that's another thing I want to know. How can they force you to hire an attorney just because your land's in a trust?
Because they say
that's
so,
what I
right?
want to know.
Yeah, and pardon? And maybe that is maybe what you should do is just go and appeal anyway, and maybe that's something that should be challenged about this too. Think about that. But yeah, having to hire an attorney for four different lots, boy, that's a lot of money. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Glenn. Glenn's in Rogue River. Glenn, you want to weigh in on this? Go ahead.
Yes. My basic premise, Bill, is that government is ruling by scarcity rather than by profitability or profit or gain for their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And the examples you're talking about are paramount to this. We have what is, in essence, a BLM and an ODF that are slumlords that get the insurance payments from us, and they just wait for a big disaster so they can collect their fees. They're doing nothing. Look at Roseburg Lumber. They defend their property because it's an asset. They don't have the fires that other groups do because it's well managed. And yet this slumlord brings their fire danger right to the edge of my property and then tells me I have to pay to protect their land. I don't mind when the government cut trees to pay for our schools and control a fire danger. But when you just let it grow like weeds and then make us pay, I highly resent that, and people need to start looking at people like Elon Musk and others who are positive about our future.
All right. Very good point on that, Glenn. And yes, you're right. The public lands right now are a burden rather than the bounty, the benefit that was promised to us. And there's no reason why they couldn't be a bounty. Let me go to Don Thumler. Hello, Don.
This is Ed, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. I thought it was Don. Maybe Don's on another one. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I want to make a comment towards this wildfire risk mapping type thing.
Hey, Ed, man, you're probably going to take a little bit of time. You want to hang on through the break, and then I'll give you a couple minutes, okay? You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay, hang on.
Sure. Yep,
we'll be back and continue to run some more calls here through Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Crater Lake Medford Mazda invites you to experience the stylish and powerful 2020.
The Bill Myers Show is on News Talk 106.3 KMED.
By the way, I wanted to issue a correction. I've been told that Oak Grove School was where that meeting where the Medford 549C school board meeting is tonight. I was wrong. Error. I went and looked it up on the website. A lot of people have been trying to figure this out. It is Oakdale Middle School, room 230, and that's 815 South Oakdale Avenue in Medford. That's what is going to be going on tonight, 5:30 to 7:30. So remember, it is Oakdale Middle School, room 230 on South Oakdale Avenue in Medford, where that school board meeting is going on tonight from 5:30 to 7:30. And, of course, the Oregon Education Project people and the network are going to be there and making their voices heard, I have no doubt. And I'm hoping that you join them. Ed, Mr. X is here. Hello, Ed. Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but it's just the conspiracy out in the open. What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Bill. And I want to, since these notices from the Oregon Department of Forestry are hitting everybody, and the implementation of a